जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरा बनचारी यमुना थीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरा बनचारी यमुना थीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यस्थोतरसत श्री श्रीमार ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यस्थोतरसत श्री श्रीमार शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिकहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारका धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेर भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Timidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Milidam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patithanam bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschachate shatarine. We welcome you to Govardhan Eco Village. On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, and our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara, today we held the Prana Pratishtha of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Srila Prabhupada taught us that the path of perfection that has descended to this world through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accessible for those who follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. The elder brother and guru of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, who established the first temple in Vrindavan, and who is our Sambandha Acharya. Lord Chaitanya taught that in all the Vedic literatures, there are three most essential subjects: Sambandha, to reestablish a relationship with Krishna. Through the process of bhakti or self-realization, we reestablish our relationship with our own eternal soul, the mind, the body, and the soul. And through that we learn to establish our relationship with Krishna and with all living beings who are part of Krishna and with the entire world, which is the divine energy of Krishna. Abhideya is to act, to think, to live, to speak in harmony with that relationship, which is to perform devotional service with deep spiritual attachment. And through the mercy of the Lord we receive, by this process, we ultimately achieve the goal of all spiritual paths, of all scriptures of life, prayojana, to awaken from within our hearts ecstatic love for Krishna. And especially in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to dynamically love Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And the culmination of all love finds its home in the gopis, and the ultimate perfection and origin of all the love is in the Lord's own Ladini Shakti, Sri Radharani. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. Krishna descended into this world as the most magnanimous, merciful, accessible incarnation. He came to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and to teach us through his own example, through his teachings, and especially through his devotees, how anyone with a sincere and grateful and humble heart can enter into that past, those pastimes of love. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. The Absolute Truth is one. But for all eternity, that one Supreme Truth has two personalities, the Vishaya and the Ashraya. The ultimate object of love, Krishna, and the supreme abode of love, the reservoir of all love, Sri Radha. Those two divine, supreme personalities have become one again in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Wherever Lord Chaitanya was, he induced devotees to have loving relationships with each other, to taste the sweetness of Krishna Katha, speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, his teachings, his pastimes, his qualities, characters, devotees. He taught us how in the association of devotees, the very core of our existence is chanting the holy names together in Sankirtan, serving one another with great appreciation and affection, and spreading this mission to the souls in this world who have forgotten their relationship to Krishna. And a very important part of the life and culture of Lord Chaitanya and all of his devotees was centered around the temple where the Archa Vigraha, the form of Krishna, resides. When he was in Puri every morning and through most of the day, Lord Chaitanya would chant and dance and pray and perform seva with his devotees in the presence of Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra. In Navadvip, when he was young, it is described that he had a family, Shalagram Shila. And every time he would pick up that Shila to begin the puja, he would incessantly cry in the ecstasy of love, because he wasn't just seeing stone. He was seeing, feeling, experiencing Krishna fully. His limbs would be shaking. His tears would be pouring, torrents of tears. In that such a state, he had to put Krishna down, take bath, put on dry clothes. But as soon as he would see the Shalagram Shila again, the same thing would happen. So he approached Gadadhar Pandit and said, "I'm not qualified to worship the deity. You see, every time I try, this is what happens. So please help me perform this seva." That is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deity. And when he first came to Puri, he came running, so eager to see Jagannath. Actually, from the point of Shantipur, while he was walking that long journey to Puri, all along he was just crying, "Jagannath, Jagannath," in separation. When he saw the chakra on top of the temple, he was so eager to reach Jagannath's temple that he would walk very fast. Then he would fall unconscious, then he would get up and he would walk very fast. It's just a couple hours walk, but it took him a very long time, and it seemed like millions of miles away to Lord Chaitanya.
That was his eagerness. And finally, when he saw the beautiful form of Jagannath, he ran to embrace him and ultimately fell unconscious in an ecstatic state of Radha Bhava. That is how he was seeing the Archa-Vigraha. And through so many histories of Madhavendra Puri, Sripad Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Six Goswamis, the loving relationship between the deity and the devotee is transcendentally sublime. Shankaracharya, in the mood of Shiva, the great Vaishnav, he worshipped Badrinath. Srila Prabhupada explains on behalf of the great Vedic literatures and all the previous gurus that everything is coming from Krishna. Janmadyashayataha. That is the first aphorism of Sri Vedanta Sutra. The very essence of all Vedic knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. Krishna tells, I'm the source of all spiritual and all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Pumirapanalovayu kamano buddhadevacha. This material energy, whose primary elements are earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, they are all my energies, Krishna tells. So for someone who says, how could God appear in what appears to be a physical form of wood or stone or metal? The rational question is, how is it that God could not enter into those forms if he so wishes, because they're all his energies? The simple example is electricity. Electricity is going, it's coming from an electrical powerhouse. And the electricity is the energy of that powerhouse. But you can't see electricity. But a light bulb, it's just a piece of glass. But when you connect it to the electrical current, it gives light. It's not the light bulb that's giving its light, it's the electricity that's making the light. So similarly, Krishna, he's the source of all energies, parashya shaktirvavadhaiva shruyate, and through Krishna, he is manifesting his energies everywhere and in everything. And if it is his will, by his mercy, to make himself accessible so that we could, to help us remember him, to give us practical, intimate opportunity to serve him, to reciprocate with us. The science of deity worship is something completely different from the idea of idol worship, worship of material things. It is based on the reciprocation of love. Krishna's love as he makes himself visible to us. And we reciprocate by making Krishna the center of our life. In Vrindavan, Madan Mohan is the Sambandha Murti. And Madan Mohan Temple was the first large temple to be built in Vrindavan. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we approach Vrindavan, we approach Krishna, first through Madan Mohan Temple, and through his loving servant, Sanatan Goswami. With your permission, I'd like to speak something on this subject. At this time, the Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan and Lalita Sakhi are being dressed. And then there will be an offering and an aarti. And how long that takes, only they know. So I'm just going to start speaking and see what time we are called to the aarti. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and their younger brother, Anupam, are coming from a family from the Karnataka state of South India in a community of Saraswat Brahmins. And there's a wonderful long history about how certain situations happened to their forefathers and mothers in which they actually had to leave Karnataka. They came to Bengal, East Bengal, which is today Bangladesh. And there they were born. In fact, in Bangladesh, there's the birthplace of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, not far from the river Padma. They were so qualified in every way. According to our acharyas, they are eternal, intimate associates of Sri Radharani and Sri Madan Mohan in Goloka Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami is identified as Rati, or also called Lavanga Manjari. When they were young, Sanatan Goswami, he had a dream. One of the most important dreams in history. He dreamed that an effulgent, beautiful looking Brahman appeared to him, presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of a book. Now please understand, in those days, there was no books as we know them. All scriptures were hand-carved and printed in either palm leaves or other types of natural bark from trees. There was no printing presses. If you wanted a book, and Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 slokas. First of all, you had to find someone who had it. And then you had to find someone to copy it for you. And just getting the leaves and preparing them were a very, very big effort. So it was very rare. So here was this effulgent person giving Sanatan Goswami the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was overwhelmed with joy. Then he woke up. And the dream was so real. He looked all over his house to see if there was a Srimad Bhagavatam, but there was no Srimad Bhagavatam. So how is he ever going to get one? These days, by Prabhupada's mercy, even if you don't want one, people, devotees will put them in your hands. But actually, we should have the same eagerness as the great devotees did in those days. It's just as rare. It's just as valuable. It's just easier to get. So Sanatan Goswami was feeling very deep separation. Oh, I don't have the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he was crying in this mood, someone came to his door It was the same personality that was in his dream. And presented him Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarinvatam Swakata Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtana. When we develop an eagerness, a deep appreciation, a feeling of true hunger and necessity to hear transcendental subject matter. Yegatamam prapadyante tamastadaiva bhajam. Then Krishna reveals himself and reveals the truth within the Vedas. So his whole life was so much centered around his study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Within every moment of every day, he was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the nectarine ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had a guru, one of the greatest scholars and Vaishnavas in all of the world. His name was Vidyavachaspati. And he studied Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other scriptures and philosophies from him. In time, Sanatan Goswami and his brother Rupa Goswami, they were forced to accept the service of a very cruel, manipulative king, the Nawab Husain Shah. This was during the Mughal Empire in India. The Nawab Husain Shah, he hated Hindus or anyone that was not of his religion. His aim in life was just conquering more and more and more. Because Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they weren't Goswamis at that time, they were so learned, they were so kind, and everyone loved them so much. The king understood, if these people are under me, then the whole Hindu community will follow me. So to protect the people from persecution, they accepted the service. And how well they did it. The Nawab Husain Shah, most of the time he just went out conquering other lands and entrusted the kingdom and the care of the people to Sanatan Goswami, who he made his prime minister. And Rupa was his finance minister, home minister. They took such responsibilities. Dhira Dhira, Srinivasacharya tells that the Goswamis of Vrindavan were very dear to both the gentle and the ruffians. They were so gracious. They never compromised in their own moral, ethical, and spiritual principles. But somehow or other, they harmonized this inconceivable situation of working for this type of a king. And the king was so happy. He accepted Sanatan Goswami as his own brother and divided his kingdom with them. He built beautiful mansion for them in Fetyapur and in Ramakeli. Gave them massive treasures. They became multimillionaires, what today would probably be a billionaire. And yet their heart was studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and remembering Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. They were such great learned scholars in Sanskrit, in Bengali, in Persian, which was the language of the of the conquering forces, Urdu. And with their wealth, they would have conferences inviting devotees and scholars from all different directions to come. And everyone wanted to come to be with them. And the beautiful thing we learn is how they treated everyone with such respect. Although in practically every way they were superior in scholarship, in wealth, in position, in realizations. But they built beautiful little houses for all their guests to stay in. They would personally greet everyone. They built a magnificent auditorium to hold these seminars. And it's described when they would sit on the stage, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they looked as beautiful and effulgent as Indra in an assembly of devatas. But still, whoever came, they would come down from the stage, greet them, and serve them. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, Narahari Chakravarti writes that they would smile so lovingly and pleasingly upon all people that came. And even in their difficult circumstances of what they had to do, never once did they ever insult anyone. They saw Krishna in everyone's heart. They were everyone's well-wishers. And therefore, because they loved, they were loved. One day, Sanatan Goswami had a dream. A person in the renounced order of life with a beautiful golden complexion appeared to him. It was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately, Sanatan Goswami could understand this is Krishna in a golden form. And he surrendered his heart, his life, to this form of this person in this dream. And Lord Chaitanya told him that I want you to go to Vrindavan to establish my mission throughout the world from there. Sanatan Goswami woke up and went to Rupa Goswami, explained to him the dream, and Rupa Goswami said, I've had the same experience. I have heard, and in my heart I know, I have total faith that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is living. He's in Puri. And we must surrender our hearts, our lives to him. In separation from the Lord, Rupa and Sanatan, in Ramkeli, they developed what they called Gupta Vrindavan. It was a secret Vrindavan. They excavated Radha Kund, Shama Kund, Govinda Kund, Lalita Kund. They established Kadamba Kanana, the forests of Vrindavan. They established the places of Krishna's Leela. And they developed a temple of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan in Ramkeli. Sanatan Goswami personally worshipped Madan Mohan. And whenever they had any spare time whatsoever, they would wander through the Vrindavan forest, Kadamba Kanana, and meditate on Krishna's leelas, meditate on Krishna in a spirit of love and devotion. And this was happening in Ramkeli, which happened to be the place of the residence of the Nawab Husain Shah. Kumar Dev, who was the father of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, you would think he would be very proud of them. Prime Minister, Home Minister, billionaires, so popular among everybody. But he was crying day and night and praying and offering puja and seva and chanting the holy names and doing yajnas, praying to Vishnu, to Krishna, please rescue my children from this abominable occupation that they have. And they went to their mother and asked, what should we do? The mother told them, you should write a letter to Lord Chaitanya and tell him your situation and how you're longing to be in his association. So, they wrote a letter. No reply. They wrote another letter. No reply. They wrote so many letters after letters, but Lord Chaitanya never replied. They never gave up hope. They kept writing more letters. And finally, one little message came that was just a couple lines. Lord Chaitanya wrote to them that just as a wife who has a lover other than her husband, she serves her husband very, very carefully, very diligently, but in heart of heart is always meditating upon her beloved. So they understood exactly what they had to do. They had to perform their duties to the Nawab Husain Shah and to the whole kingdom with such diligence and efficiency. But in their heart of hearts, they were always meditating on Krishna and service to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya ended the letter that Krishna will be merciful to you. So during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first attempted journey to Vrindavan, he did something very unusual. He took a route which was very indirect. In fact, it was another direction, and came to Ramkeli. At that time, there were thousands, hundreds and thousands, according to Vrindavan Das Thakur, there were millions of people following him to Vrindavan, having loud Sankirtan. And when they came into Ramkeli, all these hundreds of thousands of people were loudly chanting the holy names. Nawab Husain Shah, he heard this tumultuous chanting and he asked one of his assistants, what's going on? They went and they came back and they said, we've never seen anything like this. There's this person, very large person with long arms that extend below his knees. He has a magnificent golden complexion, large lotus eyes. He's dancing, he's singing the names of Krishna. Tears are pouring from his eyes. We've never seen anything like this. And there's hundreds and thousands of people who are doing anything he says. He's inducing them all to be crying in ecstasy of love for Krishna. So the Nawab called one of his assistants, Keshava Chatri, who happened to be a devotee. He said, tell me, who is this person? Keshava Kshatriya was very, very much worried that he might attack Lord Chaitanya. So he said, actually, what you're hearing is all just rumors. This person is just an ordinary sannyasi doing madhukari. He has a few disciples. Don't even pay attention to him. And Nawab Hussain Shah, just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, he said to Keshava Kshatriya, why are you saying this? This is an aparad, an offense. I can understand that this personality is none other than the Supreme Lord of the universe. And you're calling him an ordinary beggar? Myself, I have to pay people so much to do anything for me. And I don't know what their ulterior motives might be, but this person doesn't pay anyone anything. Out of love, they're attracted to him, to give their hearts to him. I declare today that he can do his chanting and attract everyone and anyone, and no one will ever interrupt him. This is the law. That was his effect. He inquired, the Nawab Hussain Shah inquired from Rupan Sanatan. And they said that you are representative of God, you're the king, so you should understand who this person is. In the middle of the night, they secretly went to meet Lord Chaitanya. That place is still there today. There's a tamal tree and a kadamba tree. And under those two trees, Lord Chaitanya was sitting. And Rup Sanatan and Anupam approached. At that time, Sanatan Goswami was given the title Sakar Malik, and Rupa Goswami was Dabir Khas. They offered Lord Chaitanya their obeisances with cloth wrapped around their necks, with straw between their teeth, crying tears of humility. They prayed, we are so abominable, and our activities are even more abominable. We are the most fallen souls who are in the association and rendering service to the most fallen souls. Therefore, we're even more fallen. Millions of times more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, because Jagai and Madhai, after all, were Brahmins and they lived in Navadvip. They were just addicted to sinful things. But we have dedicated our lives to serving cruel people. We have no hope except your mercy. Because you are Patita Pavana. You have descended into this world to deliver the most fallen. And throughout the entire world, you will find no one more fallen than us. So please give us your mercy. We are begging like a dwarf that is attempting to touch the moon. But we have no other hope. Lord Chaitanya picked them up, embraced them, and told them that your humility is breaking my heart. Then Lord Chaitanya said to them, you are my very old associates, and today I give you the names Rup and Sanatan. He told them to continue what they were doing, but that soon Krishna would deliver them. Sanatan Goswami advised Lord Chaitanya that you're going to Vrindavan with so many hundreds and thousands of people, it will be a disturbance for you. Better you go another time with just yourself or one or two others. Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet upon their heads and had all the devotees who were there, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, were actually the ones that brought them in to see Lord Chaitanya. And all the other devotees blessed Rupa and Sanatan. Lord Chaitanya continued his journey. Soon after, Rupa Goswami, along with Anupam, their younger brother, the father of Jiva Goswami, they left. They took huge amounts of their wealth and put them in boats. Rupa Goswami gave half of all of his wealth to the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, gave a section of it to his family members, and kept a section for emergency. Sanatan Goswami could not leave at that time. And it was very difficult for him to leave because the king was so affectionate to him. So he had to devise a way that the king would be very angry at him. So he sent a message that he was sick and he couldn't perform his duties. During that time, with great Vaishnavas and scholars, Sanatan Goswami studied the Srimad Bhagavatam day and night. The kingdom was very much being disturbed in his absence, so that Nawab Husain Shah, he sent a doctor, please see what you can do for Sakir Mali. The doctor came back to the king and said, his health is perfect. He's just reciting Srimad Bhagavatam day and night with all these scholars. The king rushed to the place. And when he came in, sure enough, Sanatan Goswami was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam so beautifully and hearing so many other people's realizations. The king said, what are you doing? Why have you lied to me? You've never lied to me before. You said you were sick. I need you. I'm about to go to Orissa to conquer that place and exploit people. And I need your help. Sanatan Goswami said, you can do anything you like to me, but I could no longer help you. The king was so angry, he walked out and then ordered Sanatan Goswami to be arrested and put in prison. An underground dungeon, chained to stones. And the king went out with his armies to conquer. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami, the jailkeeper, he personally had hired some time before, and he had a very good relationship with him. He said, please let me go. The person said, how can I let you go? The king will punish me if I let you go. I cannot let you go. Rupa Goswami, he put aside and sent through a grocer 8,000 gold coins to help Sanatan Goswami escape. And he was praying for Sanatan Goswami day and night. He said, I'll give you 5,000 gold coins. The person said, what will I do with gold coins if I'm put in prison and I'm tortured? I could even be killed if I let you go. And Sanatan Goswami was so expert. He would speak the truth just in the most effective way, the higher truths. He said, you are a very pious man, and you know that helping a person to go on pilgrimage to take shelter of the Lord is, you will get great benefits in this world and the next world. I want to go on a pilgrimage to Mecca. And if you help me, how pious you will be, how much God will reward you. And then he put another several thousand gold coins in front of him. The person said, yes, well, how am I going to do this? Sanatan Goswami said, just tell the king that I had to respond to nature's calls. And afterward, with all my chains and all the rocks that are attached to my chains, I jumped in the Ganges River and you looked for me and you couldn't find me. And he put some more gold coins in. Man said, yes, well, if you want to go to a place of pilgrimage, then I should certainly help you. And he took all the gold coins. And he cut the chains and released Sanatana Goswami. And now Sanatana Goswami, who was the prime minister of the entire kingdom, was a fugitive running for his life. And his one assistant, Ishan, came with him. They couldn't go to any main roads. They were going through the jungles. And one particular jungle was infamous for thieves and murderers. And there was a hilly tract of land that was almost impossible to cross unless you knew your way. So he went to an inn and asked the innkeeper, Can you help me? The man said, you stay here. And the man treated him really nicely. The reason is because just before Sanatan came, an astrologer told him, this person has 8 gold coins. So let me treat him really nicely, and at the least expected moment, I will kill him and steal his money. So Sanatan was very intelligent. He understood this person is treating me so nice, he must have an ulterior motive. He asked his servant, Ishan, did you bring any gold coins? He said, I have 7. He said, give them to me. And he gave them to the innkeeper, said, you take them. The innkeeper said, I was going to kill you for these. Now you're giving them to me? You're such a good person. I don't even want them. Go. I'll take you across the hilly tract of land. Lord Chaitanya said, if you don't kill me, somebody else will. So please do me the favor of taking them. So they went across the jungles. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Ishan, do you have any other coins? He said, I have 1. He said, take that one and go home. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling, Sanatana Goswami was traveling alone, he came near Patna. There's a place called Hajipur. And that was a place where he happened to meet his brother-in-law, Srikanta. And Srikanta saw he was very disheveled. He was just wearing the clothes of a prisoner. And Srikanta said, please come to my house, stay with me for some time, and I'll get you nice food, and I'll give you nice clothing. And Sanatana Goswami said, I'm going to meet Lord Chaitanya. I will not stop anywhere. But Srikanta insisted, take this new woolen blanket. So just to please him, Sanatana Goswami took it. After some days, he arrived in Varanasi and heard the news that Lord Chaitanya was on his way back from Vrindavan and he was staying at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house in Varanasi. Sanatana Goswami sat in the courtyard of Chandrasekhar and waited. Lord Chaitanya told Chandrasekhar, there's a great personality outside. Please bring him in. He went out to the courtyard, came back in, said, there's no great personalities out there. Lord Chaitanya said, I know he is. He said, no, there's nobody there. Is anyone there? He said, there's just one mendicant. He's just kind of sitting there. He's a very disheveled person. And Lord Chaitanya came out. And Chandrasekhar, he was astounded when Lord Chaitanya picked up Sanatana Goswami and embraced him. And they were both bathing each other with their tears of ecstatic love. Sanatana Goswami stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar and would take prasad at the house of Tapan Mishra. Actually, Lord Chaitanya did that. But Sanatana Goswami would not. He would go to do Madhukari every day. And one day Lord Chaitanya happened to glance in a certain way at the wool blanket. And Sanatana Goswami could sense he doesn't like this new blanket. So he went to the river Ganges and he saw this Bengali mendicant who had a very old, tattered, torn up quilt, and he was washing it in the Ganges. Sanatana Goswami said, "I will exchange this brand new expensive blanket for your old torn quilt." And the man said, "Why are you insulting me in this way just because I'm so poor?" Sanatana Goswami said, "No, really, here." And when he came back to Lord Chaitanya wearing this old quilt, Lord Chaitanya said, "Where is the blanket?" He told him the story. And Lord Chaitanya said, "This is very good because you're doing Madhukari with such an expensive blanket on. What will people think of you? Now Krishna has removed from your life the last drop of material attachment." So many beautiful things took place in Varanasi. Sanatana Goswami happened to witness the wonderful discussion between Prakash Ananda Saraswati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He happened to witness how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna consciousness to everyone. It was there that Sri Sanatana Goswami, he approached Lord Chaitanya with such profound, genuine humility, expressing how unqualified and how desperate he was for causeless mercy. He said, "People call me a pundit, but I don't even know who I am. And I'm so unfortunate that I believe them when they say that. Please instruct me. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of material existence? And how can I get out from this abominable situation?" When Lord Chaitanya heard Sanatana Goswami speaking, very similar to Arjuna in the first and second chapters of Bhagavad Gita, similar to Parikshit Maharaj questioning Shukadev Goswami, Lord Chaitanya said, "Sanatana Goswami, you already know everything. You are fit to be my guru. But still, it is the nature of a Vaishnav to have this mood." And then Lord Chaitanya, for 2 months every day, instructed Sanatana Goswami. The most comprehensive teachings that Lord Chaitanya had given to anyone that is recorded today. He began his teachings with a simple premise: Jivira Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That the spirit soul is eternally a servant of Krishna. We are Tatashta Shakti. The spirit soul, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has free will, just like Krishna. We could either be subordinate to Krishna's divine spiritual energy or his material energy. And from that premise, he taught the world through Sanatana Goswami what is the goal of life? The sadhya and sadhana, the way to achieve it. The principles of Krishna, Krishna's energies, devotion to Krishna. At the end of these 2 months, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan to meet with Rupa Goswami. And he told him that I have four missions that I want you to accomplish on my behalf. I wanted to do it myself, but because my mother wants me to live in Puri, I am entrusting to you. While living in Vrindavan, I want you to rediscover and excavate the places of Krishna's pastimes and make it into a place of pilgrimage. I want you to establish temples and deity worship in Vrindavan. I want you to extract the essence of all the Vedic literatures, pure unalloyed devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and write books to expand on that subject. And through your own life, I want you to exemplify what a true Vaishnav, and especially one in the renounced order of life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that the heartbreaking scene of when Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami was being separated cannot be explained in words. They embraced each other. Sanatana Goswami just wanted to stay with Lord Chaitanya forever, but Lord Chaitanya sent him to perform his seva in Vrindavan. When Sanatana Goswami arrived in Vrindavan Dham, he was met by Subhuti Rai, who happened to be an incredible personality who was really in a suffering condition, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved him and gave him the simple service: go to Vrindavan, and any devotees that come to Vrindavan, you should take care of them in every possible way. So Subhuti Rai, whenever any devotee like Sanatana Goswami came, he would get food for them. He would cook for them. He would show them the 12 forests. If they were sick, he would get medicine for them. Prabhupada said, especially Bengalis, they like oil massages. So he would give them oil massages. Sanatana Goswami's roamed through the 12 forests of Sri Brajbhumani with Subhuti Rai. And then he got a message that Lord Chaitanya was calling him to Puri. He left Puri and began by foot walking. But of course he was still a fugitive, so he couldn't go the main roads or that on the banks of the Ganga. He went through the Jarikan forest. And while he was there was practically no food and he was all alone. Sometimes he was fasting. And once he drank some very contaminated water. Instantly he contracted a terrible disease. His whole body, the skin, was infected with boils and oozing sores, rashes, scabs. It was intolerable. Pain, constant itching, pus and blood. He continued his journey. He was thinking, my body is so useless. And there was no apparent cure for this disease. So he decided, I will go to Puri, and during the Rath Yatra, in the presence of Lord Jagannath, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates are present, loudly chanting the holy names, I will throw this wretched body of mine under the wheel of Jagannath's chariot. And then perhaps I will get a better next life. He committed himself, this is what I will do. After some days, he arrived in Puri. And being so humble, he never went to the Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's house. There's no real record that he ever went there. He wouldn't go in Jagannath's temple. But he went to the place of Haridas Thakur. It was Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu that first introduced him to Lord Chaitanya. When Srila Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami met, they were both in very, very great happiness and gratitude. Sanatan Goswami said, where is Lord Chaitanya? Haridas Thakur said, every day in the morning at about this time, he comes here. And just when he said that, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur both offered their prostrated obeisances. Haridas Thakur got up, and Sanatana Goswami just laid there offering prayers flat on the ground, and Lord Chaitanya said, who is this? And Haridas said, this is Sanatana Goswami. He's come to see you. Lord Chaitanya picked up Sanatan and went to embrace him, and Sanatan tried to run away, but Lord Chaitanya, with his long golden arms, squeezed him to his chest, and the pus and the blood oozed and smeared over Lord Chaitanya's beautiful body. Sanatana Goswami was brokenhearted. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. They spoke for some time. Lord Chaitanya said, you stay here with Haridas Thakur. And every single day after my darshan of Jagannath, I will come here to meet you. Sanatana Goswami said, but please don't embrace me because there's pus and blood all over your body. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm embracing you for only one purpose, for my own purification. Because you are such a great devotee of Lord Krishna. By seeing you, by touching you, I am becoming purified. On another day when Lord Chaitanya, actually when Lord Chaitanya left, Haridas Thakur was praising Sanatana Goswami. How fortunate you are that Lord Chaitanya loves you so much. And Sanatana Goswami said, how fortunate you are. One day, when the Lord came, just before the Rath Yatra, because Sanatana did not reveal his plan to anyone. But the Lord is situated within everyone's heart. He knows past, present, and future. He knows everything. He became very firm. He said, Sanatan, your body is Krishna's property. You have no right to destroy someone else's property. If someone can attain Krishna by committing suicide, Lord Chaitanya said, I would have already committed suicide thousands of times. But one cannot attain Krishna. This idea of suicide is in the mode of ignorance. It is the most sinful activity. Get this out of your mind. It is only through pure devotional service that you can attain Krishna. You have surrendered your body, you have surrendered to me. That means now your body is my property. And I have a great mission to fulfill through you. I want you to go to Vrindavan. Establish the holy places of pilgrimage. Establish temples. Write transcendental literatures to inspire the world in pure devotional service. And show by your example what is a true Vaishnava. You will be an instrument of my most intimate mercy to the world. When Haridas Thakur heard this, after the Lord left, he said to Sanatan, "Just see, the Lord wants to do all these things through you. How fortunate are you?" Sanatan Goswami said, "I'm so contaminated and I'm so fallen, I don't know why the Lord's saying this, but how fortunate are you that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to establish the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy name, and he have made you the Namacharya." This is the nature of devotees. They're always seeing the good in each other. They're infinitely more eager to praise another devotee than to be praised themselves. One day while in Tupuri, Lord Chaitanya was at the Yamalatota. And he invited Sanatana Goswami to join him for prasad at noon. It happened to be the summertime. He could have gone two ways. One close to Jagannath's temple, and the other along the seashore. Jagannath's temple route was very cool, but the path along the seashore was intolerable. The sand was blazing fire. Sanatana Goswami, with no shoes, he walked. His feet were getting blistered. But he was so eager to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so grateful and honored that he was invited, that it really didn't matter to him. When he arrived, Lord Chaitanya had already finished prasad and was resting. And Lord Chaitanya told Govinda to feed Sanatana Goswami. When Lord Chaitanya came, he saw the blisters in the feet of Sanatana Goswami. He said, "Which way did you come?" Sanatana Goswami didn't even say anything. Lord Chaitanya said, "Why didn't you go the cool, comfortable way near Jagannath's temple?" Sanatana didn't say a word, but Lord Chaitanya could read his mind. He was thinking, "How could I go close to the Jagannath temple in my contaminated state? What if one of the priests were to touch me, or even touch something I touched? Then they would go in and they would serve Jagannath and make a great offense." This was Sanatana Goswami's humility. It is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through four of his associates, he taught four of most important characteristics of a devotee. But none of them could be imitated. Through Ramananda Rai, he taught the limits of controlling the senses. Through Damodar Pandit, the limits of neutrality. Through Haridas Thakur, forbearance and tolerance. And through Rupan Sanatana Goswami, the quality of humility. Sanatana Goswami remained in Puri. One day Lord Chaitanya came and Sanatana Goswami told him that I've decided I'm going to go to Vrindavan. I'm going back because you've already given me these missions there. So I'm leaving today. Lord Chaitanya said, why are you leaving? Why now? He said, Sanatana said, I spoke with Jagadananda Pandit and I told him my plight. Every day you're embracing me and every time you embrace me I become so brokenhearted because you become covered with pus and blood and all these horrible substances and I came here to get liberated and I think I'm just making offenses every day. And Jagadananda Pandit said, the Lord has already given you instructions, just go to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya said, Jaga, that impudent neophyte, what right does he have to instruct you who is fit to be the guru of the whole world? Sanatana Goswami said, Jagadananda Pandit is so fortunate that he's tasting the sweet nectar of your chastisement. But I am so unfortunate that all I get is your praise. Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's not like that. I mean it. You are my guru. I can't tolerate anyone giving you such instructions. But my Lord, every day you're embracing me. And I'm making so many offenses. And please hear carefully. Lord Chaitanya said, let me tell you what is in my mind. The nature of a mother's love, even if her little baby, even if she touches the stool and urine of the baby, because of the love in her heart, she smells that urine and stool as chatushma. In the Garuda Purana, chatushma is one of the most sacred opulences you can offer to the deities. It's a mixture of sandalwood, musk, saffron, and camphor. It smells like nectar. He said, because of my love for you, because I love you as my own child, when those oozing pusses come on my body, I smell nectar and I feel purified. And then Lord Chaitanya went to embrace him again, and Sanatana Goswami tried to run away, but Lord Chaitanya held him and squeezed him. And at that moment, Sanatana Goswami's health became perfectly healthy. All the diseases went away. His skin was effulgent, glowing. Haridas Thakur began to dance, clapped his hands and said, just see your mercy. It was you that gave him this disease just to show the world the nature of your devotees' tolerance, humility, and love. And now it is you who have cured this disease. This is all your pastime. Sanatana Goswami stayed with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri for one full year. Then returned to Vrindavan after receiving the mercy and the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya would praise Sanatana Goswami as if he had five mouths. And in this particular instance, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, all the Vaishnavas who had come from so many different directions for the Ratha Yatra, they were all relishing hearing Lord Chaitanya praise Sanatana Goswami. Overwhelmed with ecstatic joy. And here, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the nature of a Vaishnav. The actual definition of a Vaishnav in this sense is a person who has no envy in their heart. Where there's a trace of love for Krishna, there can be no envy. To hear others getting the mercy of the Lord, praised by the Lord, to hear others making progress, getting empowered, having success, being recognized, that's nectar to the heart of a devotee. But to ordinary people, we become envious. The more Lord Chaitanya praised Sanatana Goswami, the more Sanatana Goswami became humbled, and all the devotees became jubilant. Sanatana returned to Vrindavan. Sometimes when devotees would come from Vrindavan back to Puri or to Navadvip, the other devotees would ask, "Did you see Rupa and Sanatan? What are they doing? How are they living? What are they eating? Please tell us." And the people, they said, "No one can ever imitate Rupa and Sanatan. The way they are living, their ecstatic love, how is it manifesting? They left magnificent palaces and the finest foods on earth. And now they're sleeping on the hard ground on the banks of the Yamuna River or under a tree. In fact, they sleep under a different tree every night in the winter and the summer, in the rainy season. They only wear a tattered loincloth that has been discarded by others. They do madukari, they beg, door to door, just to get some chickpeas or some roti. They're constantly engrossed in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radhan Krishna. They're so immersed in hearing and chanting that they hardly have time to sleep for 2 hours in a day. And they're always absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis' love for Krishna. This is how the Goswamis are living in Vrindavan. When people would hear this, they would be stunned with amazement. Sanatan Goswami, one time, when he was performing Madhukari in Mathura, he came to the house of a Purushottam Chobe. He was invited in to get some rotis. Sanatan Goswami, he was the most loved person among all the Brijabasis. He had such deep concern for everyone's well-being. He traveled throughout Brajbhumi doing his Madhukari. And when he would come to a village, the entire village would come to the outskirts to greet him, with tears in the eyes, celebrating, "Our guru, Sanatan Goswami, has come." They'd have kirtan for him, they'd bring him in, they'd sit him under a tree, they'd bring all the best things that they have. He would just take a little roti or something, but they would bring everything out of love. And he would ask them, "How is your good wife? How is your good husband? How are your children? How are your cows? How are your crops? Has your father recovered from his illness?" Physically emotionally, spiritually, Sanatan Goswami expressed his love for these people by having such concern for every aspect of their life. And because they loved him so much, they were so much yearning and longing to hear him speak about Krishna and chant the holy names and dance with him. The next morning, when he would leave, everyone would go to the outskirts of the village and they'd be walking with him crying, "We don't know when we'll see you again. Please don't go. Please don't go." And Sanatan Goswami would lovingly bless them. And sometimes they would all follow him to the next village. And when he'd arrive at the next village, everyone was having kirtan and crying in great joy that Sanatan has returned. The next day they'd all be weeping that he was leaving. And he'd go to the next village and be greeted, and this is how he lived. So when he was in Mathura, this Purushottam Chobe, he was worshipping a deity. A deity that was entrusted to him by Sri Advaitacharya. I'll begin my lecture now. This was the introduction. I would like to explain the history of this deity that was worshipped by Purushottam Chobe. Approximately 5,000 years ago, when Krishna performed his final pastime of disappearing from this world, the Pandavas, headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, were so broken-hearted. They could not tolerate living without Krishna. They retired. Before Yudhisthira Maharaj gave the kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj, he also gave the kingdom of Braj Bhumi to Krishna's great grandson, Vajranab. And then Yudhisthira Maharaj with the Pandavas went into the Himalayas. Vajranab was given the assignment to establish the places of the pilgrimage of Krishna's Leela. Krishna's great-grandson, he sat on the bank of the river Yamuna under a kalpa vriksha tree and prayed for direction. By Krishna's grace, by the mercy of the kalpa vriksha tree, everything was revealed to him. He called Vishwakarma to help him establish deities to place in the principal places of Vrindavan. And among the many deities, one was Srinathji Gopal, who was placed on top of Govardhan Hill. Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan were the three foremost of the deities that were carved. Vajranab brought Uttara, who was a personal associate of Krishna, to look at the deities. When she saw Madan Mohan, she said, "This deity, Krishna's beautiful, supremely merciful lotus feet are perfectly revealed." And in Govindaji, she said, "Krishna's playing, his holding his flute is perfectly revealed." And in Gopinath, Krishna's face is perfectly revealed. So these three deities are the very life and soul of the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the followers of Lord Chaitanya. But over time, over thousands of years, all these deities were hidden. They were lost. There was no one on earth who knew where they were. Within the scriptures, within the histories, local histories, everyone knew about them. But nobody knew where they could be. Sri Advaitacharya, the avatar of Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, who brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world by his great compassion for all living beings. He was living in Vrindavan while on pilgrimage. On the bank of Yamuna River, under a banyan tree, which is today called Advaitavat. In the same mood that Advaitacharya was praying for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear, even before, he was praying for Krishna to appear. And right there at that Bamsibat, at that banyan tree, Madan Mohan revealed himself to Sri Advaita, who worshipped him there. And before he left Vrindavan, he entrusted him in the care of Purushottam Chobe. Now, Madan Mohan Ji is Krishna. He could perform so many leelas in so many ways in so many places. The Bhakti Ratnakar explains Sanatan Goswami's first experience of Madan Mohan was when he was traveling through Braj Bhumi. He was in Mahaban, Gokul. And Sanatan Goswami was living there for some time. He was sitting on the bank of the Yamuna River and he saw Brijabasi children playing. Little cowherd boy children playing so many games. Sanatan Goswami, this Mahapandit, self-realized Goswami, he was charmed just to watch the children play. And among the children, one of them completely captured his heart. He couldn't stop looking at this child. His heart, in intimate love, surrendered to the attraction of this child. And the child was just playing and jumping and dancing. Sanatan Goswami, after the other children left, when this boy was going home, Sanatan Goswami from a little distance was following behind him. He just could not give up the association of this boy. And the boy ran into a temple. Sanatan Goswami went into the temple. There was nobody there. Even the boy wasn't there. The only person there was the deity of Madan Gopal. Madan Gopal was out playing with children just to give pleasure to the heart of Sanatan Goswami. And now Sanatan Goswami was seeing that same Madan Gopal in the house of Purushottam Chobe. He offered Sanatan Prasad when this Brahmin went on the altar to get the prasad from Sanatan Goswami, saw him with a stick. Chastised the deity. I told you to eat. Why have you not eaten? You think I'm cooking and all these things for nothing? Why are you not? It's the way my mother used to talk to me. Isn't it the way your mothers all talk to you? I have worked so hard to cook like this. Why are you not eating? Sanatan Goswami saw this. Sanatan Goswami is the author with Gopal Bhatta Goswami of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which teaches the methods of deity worship. So Sanatan Goswami taught him the proper process of deity worship. And he ate some roti and he went. And he was living at that time in Vrindavan on a hill called Dwadasa Ditya Teal. This is a very holy place. After Krishna subdued Kaliya, he was in the water for a long time. He went on top of the hill and so many different manifestations of the sun came to give warmth to Krishna. Dwadas Aditya Teal. Sanatan Goswami had a dream. Madan Mohan appeared to him and said, I want to be in your care. Tomorrow, this Brahmin Chobei is going to bring you to, is going to bring me to you. Please accept him. Sanatan Goswami said, my lord, what will I worship you with? Now you're in a nice house, you're getting nice food. I don't have anything. I'm sleeping under trees. I'm doing madhukari. Krishna said, there's nowhere else I want to, but to be with you. Whatever you have, I will be satisfied. And a similar dream appeared to the Brahmin. The next day, Sri Madan Mohan was entrusted to Sanatan Goswami's care. And under that tree, under a tree on that hill, Sanatan Goswami tried to make a little hut for him. And because now he had to, he was spending so much of his time doing seva for Thakurji, Madan Mohan, he couldn't go to do so much madhukari. He would just go out. Sometimes he'd just get some wheat flour, mix it with some Yamuna water, make a ball, put it on some burning coals of wood and offer that to Madan Mohan. And many of us have heard that beloved story where Madan Mohan inquired from Sanatan Goswami, all you're giving me is this bhati, this kind of burnt roti ball. At least put some salt in it. Now, the way Srila Prabhupada explains Sanatan Goswami's reply melts the heart. Srila Prabhupada is very emotional. He said, Sanatan Goswami said, my lord, I'm very old. I don't have anything. This is all I have. I have nothing else. I want to give you so much. Please accept what I can give you. And Madan Mohan was satisfied. One day, Krishna Das Kapoor, who is from the province of Multan, he was a very wealthy man who had put great treasures on a boat. He was sailing down to the area of Agra to sell everything he had. On the way, he was just under Dwadasa Ditya Teal when his boat got stuck in the Yamuna River. Didn't move. This was a great crisis. was it going to sink? There was nothing it could do, because at that time, Vrindavan was like a jungle. There was nobody around. He went up the mountain, and there he met Sanatana Goswami. He appealed to Sanatana Goswami, "Everything of my life is about to be lost if I can't move this boat. What am I going to do?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Take shelter of Madan Mohan. There's nothing I can do for you, but take shelter of Madan Mohan." By the association of Sanatana Goswami, he developed total faith in Madan Mohan. That's the power of the association of devotees. Adoshadatta sadhu sangata bhajanakriya. By hearing, by chanting, by being in close proximity with those who love Krishna, our faith becomes strong. Our willingness to take to the path of devotional service is manifested. Sanatana Goswami's compassion melted his heart, and with full faith, he took shelter of Madan Mohan and stayed with Sanatana Goswami for some days and learned the path of pure devotional service. And one day, the boat was freed from its entrapment. He took the boat, sailed it to Agra, sold everything he came back to Vrindavan, and presented everything he had to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami said, "I don't need anything. I'm happy doing Madhukari and sleeping under trees. But Madan Mohan deserves something better than living under a tree. Please build a wonderful temple for him." Sanatana Goswami and Krishnadas Kapoor, it appears that they designed the temple together. And with his fortune, he built the first original temple in all of Vrindavan, the temple of Sri Madan Mohan. That temple has become, from 450 years ago to this day, it is the symbol of Vrindavan. Even people of all sampradayas, when they think of Vrindavan, they think of Madan Mohan Temple, the temple of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he entrusted the deity worship to some of his disciples. And he would go to other parts of Brajbhumi. One time he was in Nandagaon, on the banks of Pavan Sarovar. Pavan Sarovar is where Sri Radharani, Lalita, Visakha, and their Sakis, associates, they would assist Yashodamai by cooking for Krishna every day. Yashodamai heard that Sri Radharani was given a blessing by Durvasa Muni that anything she cooked would taste like nectar and anyone who ate it will never get sick. So Yashodamai asked, "Please cook for Krishna." That was on the banks of Pavan Sarovar. There at Pavan Sarovar, every day Krishna and Balaram would bring the cows to drink the waters. Very special place. meditating on these leelas, Sanatan Goswami was residing under a tree. And sometimes he was so absorbed in his loving memories of Krishna chanting the holy names and writing transcendental literatures, he would even forget to eat or drink. One day a little cowherd boy approached him, such a beautiful little cowherd boy. He said, "Sanatan Goswamiji, I've been watching you. And the other Brijabasis, they're watching you. You never eat anything. So they sent me with a bucket of milk to give you." Gave Sanatan milk. He said, "Please drink this milk. And we can't tolerate you. It causes us much pain to see you sleeping and doing your bhajan just under trees. Make a little house for yourself, a bhajan kutir. Otherwise, it will break our hearts." Then the little boy said, "I'll come back later to get the milk pot." Sanatana Goswami, as soon as he tasted that milk, he went into transcendental ecstasy. And he realized that that little boy was Krishna. And Krishna was saying he was crying to see his austerities on behalf of all the Brijavasis. Krishna was begging him to make a bhajan kutir. And it was there on the banks of Pavan Sarovar in Nandagram, right under the Nandeshwar hill, where Krishna and Balaram's eternal residences, that Sanatan Goswami built his first, not built, he just had made his first bhajan kutir. Very, very simple. And close by to Pavan Sarovar is Terkadamba, where Rupa Goswami was doing his bhajan. One day Rupa Goswami invited Sanatan Goswami for lunch. And he went out to go begging to get something to prepare for Sanatan Goswami for lunch. And a little girl, very beautiful little girl, she saw Rupa Goswami and said, "Oh, you're cooking for your brother today? I've come to give you some nice fresh milk and some rice and some sweetener." She said, "In fact, I'll cook it for you." And that little girl made, sadhus call it param anna. In India, it's called kheer. In ISKCON, it's called sweet rice. But really, sadhus, they don't say kheer or sweet rice. They say param anna, which means the supreme food. And any festival, disappearance day of somebody's guru in an ashram, all the sadhus assemble and they're eagerly awaiting param anna. But when this little girl cooked the param anna, gave it to Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan came to Terkadamba, and they tasted together that kheer. And suddenly tears were flooding from their eyes, their hairs were standing on end, their limbs were trembling, their hearts were exploding with ananda, paramananda. That paramana created paramananda. Sanatan Goswami was asked, "Where did you get this?" He said, "A little girl." Sanatan Goswami said, "Tell me, who is this little girl?" When he described, Sanatan Goswami said, "That little girl is Srimati Radharani. How could you do this? How could you accept service from Srimati Radharani? We are her eternal servants. Radha Dasyam, that's the principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. that we are striving to be the loving servants of the servants of the servants of Sri Radha in her service to Krishna. And you have Sri Radharani serving me. How could you do this to me? So as Sanatana Goswami was complaining to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami was feeling very guilty, they couldn't stop drinking the sweet rice. They were laughing. They were crying. They were rolling on the ground of Vrindavan with every sip of this paramana. But through this story, the principle of pure devotional service was revealed by Sanatana Goswami. That we do not approach Krishna for what he could do for us. We do not approach Sri Radharani for the blessings she gives us. Srila Prabhupada taught us the prayer, "My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Sri Radha, please engage me in your loving service." This is the spirit in which we chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
After Sanatana Goswami had his bhajan kutir, one day he was traveling to Radhakund. And he saw Raghunath Das Goswami sitting on the banks, immersed in remembering Sri Radharani and Krishna's eternal leelas and chanting the holy names. And right beside him was a tiger drinking water from Shamakund. Sanatana Goswami was very much alert. Sanatana Goswami was just approaching. Then he saw Krishna. Krishna manifest himself with a stick standing between the tiger and Raghunath Das Goswami to protect his devotee. And when the tiger left, Krishna smiled and disappeared. And Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath Das Goswami, "You're supposed to be serving Krishna, but Krishna's coming to serve you." Then another time he came, it was the summer time. The sun was blazing. Raghunath Das Goswami was totally oblivious, chanting Krishna's holy names, meditating on his service to Sri Radha. And Srimati Radharani appeared just behind him. She was personally standing directly under the sun, and with her veil she was giving shade to Raghunath Das Goswami. When she saw Sanatana Goswami, she smiled and disappeared. And Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath Das Goswami that even you have to have a bhajan kutir. It is Krishna's wish. We are doing our bhajan to give pleasure to Krishna. We are not doing bhajan so Krishna and Radharani will give pleasure to us. In his old age, Sanatana Goswami resided at Govardhan Hill, at Chakratirtha, where there's a deity established by Vajranab of Shiva, Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Sanatana Goswami resided there. There he was writing his books throughout the day and the night, chanting the holy names, remembering Krishna. Every day he did a full parikrama of Vrindavan. One night, Sanatana Goswami was being so harassed by mosquitoes. He was thinking, "I cannot properly meditate or chant or write literatures. Tomorrow I will leave this place. It was his thought. But Mahadev, Lord Shankar, was so attached to Sanatan Goswami's association. He took the form of a Brahmin and said, Sanatan, it looks like you're going somewhere. Sanatan Goswami was just about to leave. He told him why. He said, just please, I beg you, stay one more day. Then Lord Shiva, he called for the demigod who oversees all insects and gave an order that makes sure not a single mosquito comes near Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Sanatan Goswami's kutir. And from that day on, there were no mosquitoes. So Sanatan Goswami remained there. As his age was growing, it was becoming very difficult to do the Govardhan Parikrama. And on one occasion, as he was struggling, a little cowherd boy came to Sanatan Goswami and fanned him and said, Sanatan Goswami, why are you doing this parikrama every day? You're so old. Sanatan Goswami said, I vowed to do it. It's no problem. It is my seva to Krishna. The little boy climbed to the top of Govardhan Hill and stood on a rock and played a flute. And as he played a flute, the rock melted and his footprint entered into the rock. Then the little boy came down and said, this rock has Krishna's footprint in it. Just do parikrama of this rock and this Govardhan Shila, and it will be equal to doing full Govardhan parikrama. And the boy said, I'll bring this rock to your house. And the little boy carried the stone, the Govardhan Shila, to Chakeshwar Mahadev's place on the banks of Manasi Ganga, where Sanatan Goswami resided. And then the child revealed that he was Krishna himself. So every day, Sanatan Goswami would do parikrama of the Govardhan Shila. It was his life and soul. And it was there at Chakaleshwar Mahadev that the Brijavasis would come to meet Sanatan Goswami, to talk with him, to joke with him, to hear from him. It was there at Govardhan that Srila Sanatan Goswami presented to the world some of the greatest of all Vaishnav literatures, establishing pure devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And it was there that he departed from this world. All the Brijabasis from all the villages and all the Goswamis, they all came to Manasi Ganga to celebrate the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami. Through their prayers, through their love, and through the performance of Govardhan Parikrama. And his body was brought back to be put into a samadhi just close to Madan Mohan Temple on the banks of the Yamuna River in Vrindavan. Years later, I'm just wondering, I haven't got any message. Is it time for Aarti yet? They're almost ready. In Puri, one of the closest associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Maharaj Prataparudra. A generation after him, he had a son whose name was Purushottam Jana. Very, very great devotee. He was a great devotee of Jagannath and a great devotee of Vrindavan. In those days, the Goswamis, when they worshipped Krishna, because Govinda Dev and Madan Mohan, when they were revealed to the Goswamis, they were alone. The Goswamis understood that the supreme object of their veneration and their love, Srimati Radharani, is forever within the heart of Krishna. So they worshipped Radha Madan Mohan in this way. Madan Mohan was standing playing his flute, and they worshipped Sri Radharani within the very core of his heart, his very life and soul. Purushottam Jana was thinking, as time goes on, people should have the experience of the darshan of Srimati Radharani. So he arranged two beautiful deities of Srimati Radharani to be sent to Vrindavan. There was a large procession of devotees who were having kirtan all the way from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. And the devotees in Vrindavan were so excited that Sri Radharani is going to come to stand before Madan Mohan and Govinda Dev. And when the two deities of Sri Radharani appeared in Vrindavan, they were having great celebrations ready to install them. But just before the installation, one of those two deities appeared in the dream of the head pujari of Madan Mohan. And she told him, "I am Srimati Radharani, but the person who sent these deities to you, he doesn't understand the truth. The truth is, the other deity is Lalita Sakhi. So you should install me on the left side of Madan Mohan, and you should install Lalita Sakhi on the right side." The pujari was very happy, and he woke up and he told the pujari of Govindaji, and the pujari was ecstatic to hear this. In fact, everybody was so happy to hear this, because the pujari had such a pure heart. Everybody understood that whatever he's saying is true. So there was a great festival, and the whole of Braj Bhumi came to Sri Madan Mohan Temple to celebrate the installation, the prana pratishtha of Radharani and Lalita Sakhi on either side of Sri Madan Mohan. The news came back to Purushottam Jana. He was jubilant. He was overjoyed. But then he had to find another deity of Radharani. And that's a wonderful story. But it's time for RT. I'll end with this simple story. When Krishna was performing his pastimes in this world, Kandarpa, or Madana, who is presiding controller of all controllers within this creation. Because Madana, in English, the nearest comparison is Cupid. That energy, that personified energy that awakens attraction for material enjoyment, that is Madana. That irresistible attraction for pleasure in this world. And Madana holds a little bow and has an arrow. And when Madana shoots that arrow in your heart, you practically become a helpless slave of those desires. So Madana came to Vrindavan to test Krishna. And on the bank of the Yamuna River, Krishna was standing, and Madana concealed himself and pointed his bow and arrow, about to shoot that irresistible power into Krishna's heart. But as he looked at Krishna, he became so attracted, so bewildered, he couldn't release his arrow. He fell to the ground, unconscious in transcendental ecstasy. Krishna conquered Cupid. Therefore, he was given the name Madan Mohan. One who bewilders, he who bewilders everyone. And the place where he fainted is today a holy site in Vrindavan called Madan Thera. Krishna attracts, he who attracts everyone. But Sri Radharani attracts, he who attracts, he who attracts everyone. Therefore, her name is Madan Mohan Mohini. And today, Madan Mohan Mohini, Lalita Sakhi, and Madan Mohan are about to reveal their first darshan and arti here at Govardhan Eco Village. Jayatam sudatau pangor mama mandamatira gati matsaravasva padambo chau radha madanamohan. I am lame and ill-advised. We cannot approach the Lord effectively unless we have truly humble hearts, completely depending on His mercy. In this prayer, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is teaching us how to approach Madan Mohan. Feeling ourselves very helpless, seeking shelter. In the clutches of Maya, Daivi Heshu Guna Mayi Mama Maya Duratiya Mame Vame Papadjante Maya Metatarantite. When we take shelter of Madan Mohan, he attracts our hearts. Parandrisvani Vartute. The beauty of Krishna is limitlessly, inconceivably greater than anything of this world. Krishna's form, His personality, His pastimes, and His holy names are supremely attractive. On the path of bhakti, we are established when we take shelter of Krishna, and when Krishna reciprocates and attracts us.
It was Yamunacharya who said, I used to be attached to so many physical pleasures and so many emotional pleasures of this world. But after tasting a drop of Krishna's mercy, my lips curl in distaste for all material pleasure. So we are seeking shelter of Madan Mohan to attract our hearts, to be the servant of the servant of his servants with love. Thank you very much.